Welcome to the 20th Macro and Volatility Podcast. My name is Eric Bender of Passaic Partners. I'm joined here by my colleague, founder, and CIO of Passaic Partners, Josh Silva. We are volatility experts and market practitioners. We are also joined by Michael Purvis, CEO of Talbach & Capital Advisors, a cross-asset macro research firm. Before we dive into today's topics, we ask that if you like what you hear, you subscribe to Macro Volatility Podcast on your platform of choice, or reach out to Michael on Bloomberg to discuss his institutional research product. Thank you. Let's get into it. So Josh, we had Liberation Day, which led to a huge market sell-off and then a rally, and then we finished the month flat. How did that play out in the options market?
Well, it's been an interesting month, to say the least. The option market, honestly, was actually rather tame considering the size of the drawdown and the size of the recovery. While the VIX got as high as 60s, all things considered, I would have thought it would have gone much, much higher. What I think happened was due to what happened before we had the drawdown in April. In other words, what positioning was put on. And I generally believe a lot of people were hedged. And you could see that in the value of the VIX that occurred in the month of January and February. It was much higher due to tail hedging and general put buying that occurred, the increase in skew. So that being said, I think the people who were needed to be hedged were hedged. They unwound those hedges on the lows. So in other words, they sold their puts, which put a cap on the VIX or volatility in general. But the other part of that is they also sold their stock. So they reduced their net exposure. So you can say options were used to de-risk at the lows, and not only were profits taken, but stock was sold. This allowed for what I would consider an orderly sell-off and a tame VIX. I also think it is important to realize that for the first time in a while, leverage volatility selling didn't exist. No XIV like 2018, no uncapped variant swaps like 2020, and no levered correlation trades like we saw this summer. The short volatility leverage trade seems to have faded a bit. On the follow through, I think positioning is light everywhere. We are kind of trading up and down on air as most people are trying to take and avoid taking any real positions. But again, that's for the time being. Good to be a market maker.
Thanks, Josh. Michael, how are you seeing this landscape?
Well, I think what Josh has talked about is really relevant. And, you know, just to add to that, you know, the VIX actually got higher last August during that spike, really as a reflecting, you know, sort of VIX market structure issues where the equity tape and the fundamental backdrop was much more benign. There, I think the real dysfunction through this move was really in the Treasury market. Now that is getting resolved, but certainly you saw some very erratic trading with the SOFR swap spread blowing out and a lot of broader questions about people really moving away from dollar-based assets there. But just to, again, to add to this, how are we thinking about the VIX right now? One thing that's interesting is that the volatility risk premium, that's the spread of the VIX implied volatility to realized volatility, actually went to the lowest level, third lowest level on record on Friday. It's only been lower during the great financial crisis or during the COVID shock of this during the spring of 2020. So that's kind of really interesting. It also, just to Josh's point, I think it really reflects the fact that realized volatility has been doing all the work on that VIX move up there. Now today, we've basically retraced the entire Liberation Day move in the VIX, and by the way, the equity markets are pretty much back to where they were just before Liberation Day here. I think what's also very important is that the volatility risk premium only played a very small part in this VIX move at every stage. It was really realized all the way up here. So I guess the question for us and for everyone else is, do you short the VIX here at these levels? And I'm not sure you do, because I think that's effectively a bet that realized volatility is just going to really plummet at these levels. And I don't think that's going to be the case here.
Josh, yeah. What say you?
Sorry to jump in there. I mean, it's been remarkable. We have not seen a VIX blow up. Like, we didn't see panic in the vol market. And I just think that's quite remarkable considering what we've seen over the last 10 years. I generally think positioning is pretty light at the moment. I think nets and grosses are light. I think there's a lot of, you know, people just sort of taking a step back, taking their time to sort of figure out what's going on. And so we're going to see some noise in the short term. I think, you know, people are going to buy it. People are going to sell it. You know, today's a good day. Tomorrow's a bad day. Who knows? And so this is sort of what you see. typically in what I would consider bear market rallies. Like you see people chasing things, hoping that the news is going to improve, hoping things are going to get better, hoping that things are going to improve. And like today, you know, we had, or last night, we had Microsoft's earnings, which were significantly better than expected, and the stock's up 9%. You know, Lilly's earnings, not so good. Stock's down 9%. Procter & Gamble, not so good. Starting to warn about things falling apart, not going to where it used to be. And I think all of these things, and with economic numbers sort of trending lower, it's going to make it very difficult for us to trade on these continued high PEs. In other words, I think we're going to be sort of in the short term, kind of in a sort of weird low-ish vol regime while we sort of figure things out. But I think down the road that these high PEs, these expensive stocks with an economy that seems to be slowing down is going to be difficult to maintain. And I think the last thing that people aren't talking about is sort of the Cold War narrative, the 1980s narrative, which is you had a sort of PE drop down in the sense that PEs traded lower because you had what they call a war premium or a war discounting. And you, we're in a Cold War thing with China. We're in sort of a trade war. And so thinking about PEs in the perspective of the Cold War, I do think PEs should continue to go lower. And so I'm using that as sort of a general playbook out there. I'm also looking back to the 08 playbook. And people sometimes forget in August of 08, the VIX got to 19. I mean, literally 2 weeks later, we were in complete Armageddon. And so markets can be made calm until suddenly they're not. And I think the thing that makes me the most nervous right now is not what's happening now, maybe not even what's happening in July when we're going to get some sort of outcome on the tariffs, at least that's what we've been told. But what Q3 looks like in terms of earnings, in terms of companies and what they're trying to do. And that's sort of the 08 playbook played out. I'm not calling for a sell-off like 08. I'm calling for nothing close to the global financial crisis. But I do think high PEs, war premium, and sort of where the market's trading in relationship to that, it does sort of point to a bear market at this point.
Yeah, I like that call. Michael, what do you have to say in that? In terms of that?
Well, a couple of things. I think first I would just say we have, you know, really since the inauguration, we've seen very fast moving news flow, very abrupt, jarring news flow. And we've seen a lot of very abrupt, jarring price action in markets. But I think the actual pace of news flow from here is going to slow down a bit. And I think what really matters here is ultimately earnings and economic data. And I think those will probably degrade, but I think the velocity of how quickly they degrade is not going to be that fast. I think maybe in certain economic metrics, but broadly, I think we've come into this year with a pretty strong economy, and I think there will be degradation. I just think it's going to happen at a slower pace. I think to Josh's point about the multiples, I've been really of the view here that just today we're at 20.5 times forward earnings. Is that the right price for this level of uncertainty? That's not going to dissipate, the next month or two. I don't think it will dissipate. I think it hangs there. And so you have to really question where multiples really going to go to. And I think one of the things that I'm certainly reminding my clients is that you can get a lot lower on the S&P 500 just through, light earnings growth or flat earnings growth with knocking it 2 or 3 PE points off and you're at 4,000. In other words, you can get to 4,000 SPX without a recession, right? And so I think people are very focused on the sort of binary condition of, oh, we'll get through the trade war, things will normalize and we'll be back to the bull run we've known for the last 2 years, or we're going to look into the abyss and it'll be the recession. There's actually a middle ground here of just lower growth, but maybe with considerably lower multiples that don't rush back.
So even like Michael with a 17 or 18 PE with, growth, earnings kind of being on track with where they are, we're not even calling for dropping earnings, just a contraction of PE. A 17, 18 PE, where does that put the S&P in your mind?
Well, if you had basically earnings didn't contract from where they are right there, you get to 45, 4600 real easily.
So that's a very easy right. target to get to.
Yeah. And Josh, 17, 18 times, well, that's basically right in the middle of the 10-year range. That's not some distressed multiple by any stretch.
That's why I brought that number up, because I thought it's a good number to bring up. It's the median.
And we got, in 2022, in that bear market, we got as low as 15.3 times forward. So it's entirely conceivable that we could get there without a recession. So 15 times in 2022. Well, earnings and the economy were decent shape in 2022. It was all about rate hikes.
And we've had some pretty good markets over the last 10 to 12 years. Maybe now's not the worst time to put on a hedge.
Yeah. Agreed.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Josh. That's it for today. You can find both Michael and Josh on Bloomberg, their respective websites, www.passaicpartners.com and talbachandcapital.com, and their LinkedIn pages.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.